The year was 1997. There was a young man, it was his first year on the PGA Tour, the Professional Golf Association Tour. He had hopes of being quite good. He looked like a good prospect. But the fact was that in the previous Pro-Am tournaments that he had played in, the highest he had ever ranked was 22nd. But he had a sweet swing. He was a charismatic guy, and a lot of people really liked him. In that era, for a rookie to win a tournament was not unheard of, but it was certainly remarkable. It was something that people talked about. It was expected that if a rookie, you know, first year on the tour made $100,000 in prize winnings, he was considered successful. If he made $250,000, that was really outstanding. Well, this young man won 4 tournaments his first year. He earned over $2 million in prize money that first year. But what's even more remarkable is that he won his first major title. He won the Masters. And he didn't just win the Masters tournament, he crushed it. He won the Masters tournament by 12 strokes. This is a tournament that is the best of the best. It is the absolute cream of the golfing world. It's going on right now. And he won it by an incredible 12 strokes over the nearest competitor. He not only earned $2 million in prize money, he had an additional $60 million in endorsements. I think by now you probably have an idea who I'm talking about. It's Tiger Woods. But what you may not know is what happened next. At the end of the 1997 season, Tiger Woods went to his coach and said, "I want to change my swing." And his coach said, "What? Yes, I want to change my swing." "Why would you want to do that? You just earned $62 million. And he said, "Because I can be better." His coach said, "But you're going to have to break down everything that you've learned. You're going to have to relearn how to swing a golf club." And he said, "I don't care. I'll do it." And so he began that process. He destroyed his sweet swing and started to learn again how to strike the golf ball. He hit hundreds of thousands of practice swings. Most of them were videotaped, not only from across, but from different angles and from behind, so we could record exactly where it went and how far it went. He worked incessantly, and over the next 19 months, Tiger Woods won exactly one tournament. But then it set in. And in the next year, the year 2000, Tiger Woods won 14 tournaments, 6 in a row. An absolutely amazing performance. Now, we won't go into the downfall of Tiger Woods, but what the point that I want to make today is that we all have within us the capacity for change. We can experience transformation through change. Well, thank you all for coming out today on this beautiful Palm Sunday. God, what a great day, and thank you all so much for coming out. It's good to see everyone, and welcome to the Alaska Center for Spiritual Living. My 3 points today are: we are all expressions of God and capable of greatness. Number 2, the nature of God and the nature of man are the same. And number 3, by contemplating God, we can get a better understanding of our spiritual nature. So first of all, we are all expressions of God and capable of greatness. We are all children of God. We have all been made in the image and likeness of God and have all of the qualities of God within each and every one of us. They are inherent in who we are as living human beings. And we all have greatness within us. Last week, I told a story of the Fang Blenny. And for those of you that missed that riveting story of the Fang Blenny, it's a little fish that lives in tropical waters. The little guy, he's like 2 inches long. And his defense against the big groupers that come and eat the little 2-inch fish is he has these big old fangs. And when they come to get him, he bites them and he's got venom. And he injects the big fish with venom. And what this venom is an opiate. He makes them high. And they just go away and forget to eat him. And what my point was is that we all have a purpose. We are all, every one of us has a purpose. Everything that God has ever made has an absolute purpose, and that includes you and me and everyone else. And the purpose of the Fang Blenny, we have discovered, is that this venom, this opiate, and it's strong, isn't addictive. So the use for mankind is that we may have a painkiller that isn't addictive. My point today in the greatness and the story of the Fang Blenny is that it took someone to discover that. It took someone to, first of all, find this little fish. Number two, to discover what he was doing with these fangs. Number three, to figure out that this venom that he injects in the bigger fish may not be addictive. And therein lies the greatness. So it's a double story of greatness, the Fang Blenny. A guy by the name of Jim Collins wrote a book not long ago called Good to Great. And in Good to Great, Collins talks about good companies, good, solid companies that have outperformed the stock market. They are good business companies. And then he compares them to great companies. These are companies that not only outperform the market in terms of giving returns to their investors and the other matrices by which we gauge the performance of a company, but they exceeded it by 10 and 20 times. And these companies consistently did that throughout economic downturns, through changes in market, through all of these other things. These were great companies. And what they discovered, and he has a list of 7 things, but what he came across was the capacity to be great. And all companies have the capacity to be great within them. The company that I worked for 35 years, it never made the great list. It was good. It was a very, very good company, the General Electric Company. But it never really stepped into the great category. What General Electric did was it created leaders. It was its excelling thing. The thing that it was great at was making business leaders, but not in the business of electrical distribution or toasters or refrigerators, the things that we think of in terms of General Electric. But we all have that capacity of good to great. We all have an inner Tiger Woods that can take us from good to great. Okay, point number 2, the nature of God and the nature of man are one in the same. In our philosophy, we believe that God is all there is, that God is everything. God has made everything. God is in everything. God is all there is. So if there is a God and it is all of everything, there cannot be an opposing force. There cannot be a Satan to oppose God, because God would then would have to have created Satan. Well, God didn't create Satan. God created only the things that it has. We don't have devils within us. We don't have things that hinder us from what we're doing. What we are given is the freedom of choice. And we, in some cases, choose things that are not for our own benefit. We choose things that can be harmful to ourselves. is I have another donut. And we all have these, but this does not deny the existence of conditions in the world, but what it does is it affirms the presence of God in all of everything. There is one power, one presence, one life. It doesn't deny the presence of effects. All humans can use this power of God, which is inherent in each and every one of us, to the extent that they can recognize and align with truth. And that's a capital T truth. That's the truth of God. That's peace, joy, love, harmony, abundance. The story of a grandfather walking down the hallway, and he hears his granddaughter in her room, and she's getting ready for bed, and he looks in the door, and there she is on her knees at the edge of her bed, and she's praying. But she's not saying what he expected. She is there singing the alphabet song, A, B, C, D, E. I wondered what that was all about. So he waited till she was done, and he went in and said, "Dear, what were you doing?" And she says, "Well, I was getting ready for bed, and I was saying my prayers, and I didn't know what to say, so I just put all the letters up there, and I let God take the ones that how he needed them." And I think that there's something to that. You know, we have to put the letters up there. And once we can step in and put the letters up there, we can allow the divine current to move through us on and out and to create that life that we want, to create the conditions in our life that will make our lives more meaningful and more joy-filled. Third point, by contemplating God, we can get a better understanding of our spiritual nature. We can use our awareness of the presence of God to transform undesirable circumstances, conditions, and unacceptable situations into more God. That is to say, bring it down a little bit to concrete things. If we are in a situation where we are faced with any condition, lack and limitation, we don't have enough money. There is more month than there is paycheck. We can use our awareness of the power and presence of God to take us through that period of time, to take us through the rest of that month. We can use our awareness of God within to deal with all of the struggles, the strife, the conditions that we have in the world. All of these are conditions. Truth is that part of God that is within us. Truth is abundance and prosperity. Truth is protection. Truth is being warm and safe and dry and not cold and wet. And the truth is that we can all have those conditions. We can all be warm and dry and secure and safe. And we can use our awareness of the presence of God to do that. And how we do that is through spiritual practices. And our spiritual practices are numerous. And one that comes to my mind, and Colleen made a reference to it earlier, is centering prayer. Centering prayer is very useful to me. I love to come here on Saturdays and sit through the time of centering prayer. We've created, we have, Colleen, Bob, Berna, a few people have created an atmosphere that is so loving, so welcoming, that it's easy to go to that place where we can absolutely feel and know the power and the presence of God within ourselves and within our lives. And when we do that, we can see beyond the effect and know the spiritual truth. The transformation of circumstances is facilitated by a positive, determined, constant awareness of God. A positive, determined, constant awareness of truth. Truth with that capital T. Now, as you know, today is Palm Sunday. You didn't think you were going to get out of here without me talking about Palm Sunday, did you? And as I like, most of you know, I like to take these events and put them in context. Palm Sunday is known. This is the day that Jesus returned to Jerusalem, and everybody waved the palm fronds at him. Everybody was cheering Jesus. They were laying things down. And he came into Jerusalem on a young donkey, and everybody shouted Hosanna and praised Jesus. But from a historical standpoint, what was really going on in that area at the time, sometime earlier, not long ago, I think it was like a week or 10 days earlier, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And that was just in Bethany. That's like 2 miles from Jerusalem. I mean, the people in Jerusalem were totally aware of the miracle that had been performed by Jesus in Bethany. And everybody was curious. And there was a lot of, I wonder if Jesus is going to come to Jerusalem for Passover. I don't know. And then the Pharisees and the high priest made a big mistake. And they thought, well, we need to keep track of this guy, Jesus. And so they put out the word, hey, if anybody finds out if Jesus is coming to Jerusalem for Passover, let us know. Well, all that served to do was to raise the consciousness and the awareness that Jesus might be there and really got the buzz going. God, I wonder if Jesus is really going to come. I wonder if he's going to bring Lazarus. Wouldn't that be something? He's going to bring a dead guy with him. We got to see this. And that just brought the attention to a fever pitch. And it's what this ended up doing was to create such a furor that it really made it tough for the Pharisees and the high priests. Their function in that at that time was to control the Hebrews. The Hebrews would do as the Pharisees and the high priests asked them to do. And as long as they did it, the Romans would allow them to do that. But if they lost control of the people, if all of the people started following Jesus, they wouldn't have the sway over the masses. The Romans wouldn't have any need for Pharisees and high priests. They would just control the Hebrew people with military force like they did throughout most of the Roman Empire. So it was important for the Pharisees and the high priests to get rid of Jesus. And Lazarus, you know, he's the big packet of evidence. We've got to get rid of those too. And so that was the atmosphere that what, and as Jesus entered, you know, everybody bowing and praising Hosanna was really uncomfortable for everything that happens. That how this applies to us in our lives today is that we are not unlike Jesus. Jesus was fully aware when he entered Jerusalem what was going to transpire in the next week. He knew that in 5 days he was going to be tortured and crucified and killed. And that in 3 more days he was going to rise. This didn't look like it was going to be a whole lot of fun. But he was able to go into that with a confidence and an assuredness that he was going to be able to do what needed to be done. And we can approach the problems, the things that we know that are in our lives, with that same confidence, that same assuredness in everything that we do. One of my colleagues wrote a paper a few years ago. At the time, he was the minister of the North Shore CSL in Evanston, Illinois. And this is a quote from that paper. Jesus didn't sneak into the city of Jerusalem. He came triumphantly, not boldly or flauntingly. He wasn't seeking to stir up the troops, but he came with a confidence and assurance. His triumph was not over the chief priests or the Pharisees or the Romans. His triumph was over his own doubts and fears. His triumph was over his own doubts and fears. And so as we approach the problems in our lives and how we go about that, we can do that with that confidence and the assuredness because of our awareness of the power and the presence of God that is with us. Not anything against us. It is what is with us. It is what is in us. We can triumph over our own doubts and fears. So in conclusion, the thing that I want everybody to take away today, our teaching deals with God and the relationship of the human to the divine. That is the effects in our lives, the lack, limitation, the health, all of those kinds of things, and the divine, that which we know to be true in God. Each and every person is a center of God consciousness and has the ability to use the power and presence of God to design and build a successful life. The use of spiritual practices is highly encouraged for personal self-discovery, for continual growth in consciousness, and faith in the wisdom of the source of all that is. And so it is with an awareness of that source of all that is that resides within each and every one of us. I ask my colleagues, the practitioners, to join me in that consciousness, to join me in knowing that behind all of the appearances, there is perfection, that behind the fear, there is faith, that behind the appearance of lack and limitation is the awareness that God and all of the universe is abundantly sourcing us in every moment, that we only open ourselves up to receive that good, the good of God. That in spite of the appearance of disease, there is a perfect health for each and every one of us. And as we step back and allow that perfect health to manifest, we do so with the confidence and assuredness that this is the activity of God. And for those of us who feel separation from one another, separation from God, I just simply know and declare that the power and the presence of God is within each and every one of us at this and in every moment. And so we just step back and we allow the very love of God to reach out and touch each and every person in every situation. So every situation is covered. Every relationship, whether it be at work, whether it be a family relationship or a romantic relationship, it makes no difference because it is all God, loving God, through and as each and every one of us. And so now I just give thanks. I give thanks for my awareness of the power and presence of God expressing itself through and as each and every one of us. And knowing now that the words that I have just spoken are God's own truth, that's the capital T truth, I release this capital T truth to the working of the law. I let it go, I let it be, and so it is.